You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It is time for the Man Cave Happy Hour. We are broadcasting live from Whiskey Business, the Royal Oak Farmers Market, downtown Royal Oak, is Podcast Detroit. Jamie Flanagan along with
Matt Fox.
And it is time to taste some whiskey.
I am thirsty. I don't know about you, man, but I could really go for a whiskey right about now.
There are, as this event grew and built, it started out, we posted on our pages, like, over 30 different whiskeys. Tonight, well over 100 different whiskeys to try.
Did I mention I was thirsty?
Yes, sir. I am quite thirsty as well. Looking forward to moving around, talking to some people. We're going to have people share their stories, share their favorite drinking stories, share their favorite whiskey stories.
Yep.
And then we'll talk to some of the distributors. There's an interesting group from Scotland here.
Yes, there is.
We got a fellow in a kilt.
Fellow in a kilt. Brian is his name. And he's in a kilt. I looked at him. I said, I forgot to wear mine. I didn't wear my kilt.
This would be an event to wear a kilt to.
It would be. Where's yours?
I forgot mine too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to a whole bunch of fun people this evening.
It is, absolutely.
Just learning a lot about
there's some interesting vendors here as well. There's all kinds of stuff. But we're set up next to Lost in Sound, the Detroit T-shirt company.
Yes, we are.
They have very cool Detroit T-shirts. Gary, he's one of the owners at Melodies and Memories Record Store in East Point. And I used to work there.
You did? We used to work there.
I had a DJ cliche lifestyle. I worked at a record store. So, I used to work there, but known Gary for years and years.
That's great.
And maybe we'll grab Gary, drag him over, talked about Lost in Sound and the T-shirts and the vintage Detroit T-shirts he puts out.
Yep, and another friend here, his name's Colin McConnell. He actually has Detroit Respect apparel, and I'll probably bring him over here as well, talk about Detroit Respect, and see how everything is going along with him. I've known him since middle school.
Wow.
Long time, and now we're drinking together. So
I like it.
Yeah, that's what happens.
So you weren't drinking in middle school, were you?
No, we were running track.
Right.
That's all it was.
See,
that's
I was. Like,
you got to start
them
young.
I'm in Lipke Park there.
Start them young, Jamie.
Big 40s. Rocking it hard.
Mad Dog
grade,
2020,
man.
Was it? Seeing vapor trails,
that's
were you?
That's all that is. It's a long road. Boone's Farm. No, it was Boone's Farm. Not Mad Dog. Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm. That's what it was.
Long road from here to there. But tonight, it's all about the whiskey. Whiskey business, downtown Royal Oak, the Farmer's Market, Podcast Detroit, Man Cave Happy Hour. And let's find some whiskey and let's find some people to talk to.
You got it, my friend. Let's go.
The Man Cave Happy Hour. We are at Whiskey Business, downtown Royal Oak. And it's whiskey time.
It is Whiskey Business 2018.
Thank God. Bro.
And we are sitting here with Brian DeVort. And Brian DeVort is with a company that's not local in Michigan yet.
No, we're the importers for Kilhoman, Tamdu, Oishi Oishi whiskey from Japan.
Okay.
We're also Fukano whiskey from Japan. We also do the importing of exclusive malts, which are single barrels of individual distilleries done by a guy named David Sterk, who also happened to be pouring his gin that's aged in a scotch barrel.
Oh, my gosh. So you got a lot going on here
now,
don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, earlier this evening, you were walking by, and I had to point out that you are wearing the best outfit here this evening.
Thank you.
You
We've
have
got a piper down.
We have a piper
There's
down.
A piper
No, lad, we don't need no pipers, damn it. We need some good with scotch whiskey.
Love it.
The man's wearing a kilt and looking good.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
It's love the look. Love it. And we're loving the whiskeys tonight.
So, Jamie, this is a surprise for you. Brian poured this for me when I walked over, and he did something very unique. He said, try this first, and I did. And then he put a couple of drops of water in it for me. He said, taste it again. And I did. And it's that much better.
Oh, okay.
With the drops of water. And he actually put four drops of water in that for you. So take a sip. And what is it that he's sipping on?
What you're sipping on at the current moment is Tamdu 10-year-old. From the Tamdu Distillery. Now, Tamdu used to be part of Edrington, so that's Highland Park and McAllen, amongst others.
Okay.
And the company that we import for, Ian McLeod, literally owns that distillery, and it is done at 86 proof, 100% sherry barrels.
There you go.
We're one of only two distilleries in Scotland that do strictly Oloroso sherry barrels.
So we've been whiskeying it up tonight, and this is where I'm a couple in. I'm trying to get the nose on it, and it was. I'm like, there's something unique in here. There's something a little different. So that's the sherry that I'm getting.
Yes.
Strictly. And the other thing is when we took it over from the people at Edrington,
yes,
we completely scrapped their barrel management system.
Okay.
So that Tamdhu now only uses first and second fill Oloroso sherry barrels. What that does is that makes the whiskey a more expensive whiskey to even drink.
Huh.
Because when you're tasting this whiskey, okay, it costs them about $1,200 a barrel.
Wow.
For the sherry barrel.
Wow.
Versus a bourbon barrel, which is maybe $200 a barrel. The other thing is they don't knock down their barrels. So they're shipped whole after being emptied from Spain up to Scotland filled with the new make spirit and then aged up there.
My brain is swimming in all that right now.
So, sorry.
No, it's fine. And that's what we're here. We want to learn about.
Oh, my God,
this.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do.
Barrels keep coming up tonight. How important are the barrels in the process?
Well, you're going to taste tonight, I hope, two different whiskeys that we have from Kilhoman. One of them, the Kilhoman Mocker Bay, is 85% Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels and 15% Oloroso sherry barrels.
Okay.
The other one of the same distillery using the same distillate is aged in 70% Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels and 70% Oloroso sherry barrels and 30% Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels.
All right.
So they're exact, almost opposites of each other. Now, what I'm talking about, and here's where a key difference between us and almost every other distillery out there is.
Please.
We don't do something called finishing. We age in.
Okay.
So that barrel is occupied, obviously, with Kilhoman.
Right.
We didn't open until 2003 with our starting the building. And we actually ran our first distillate in December of 2006. So we're not even a 10-year-old available yet.
But you haven't yet. Wow.
So, okay, what you're tasting when you taste that whiskey group,
yes,
is you're tasting the same distillate in different barrels. So what they're doing is they literally age in and then marry the two types of barrels together. So if you had 100 barrels, 85% of them would be Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels on the Mocker Bay, and 15 barrels would be the Oloroso sherry barrels. On the other one, the Sinang, it's literally 70% of the barrels, or 70 barrels out of 100, would be of the Oloroso sherry, and 30 barrels would be the Buffalo Trace bourbon barrel.
My goodness. So you actually get a different taste almost every single time you
take a sip. Exactly. And the beauty of it is when they marry together, they marry for what they're wanting to produce.
Yes.
They don't mass produce or anything because they're only doing 30 barrels a week.
Wow, okay.
All by hand. Oh, wow. No computers at that distillery. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you in all honesty, that it is a very important thing to have somebody actually working the still by hand than by a computer analyzing and doing, because the guy is constantly there measuring with the hydrometer, checking the spirit as it's coming through, doing the temperatures and all the rest of it and all that, instead of literally waiting for somebody to say, okay, Houston, there's a problem.
Right,
then they'll
go
in and make the change.
My goodness. Yeah, every time I've taken three sips in the past 2 minutes, all right, and I got a different feel every single time I took a sip.
And this is, I would say, it is bold. It's
a big whiskey.
I'm not saying strong.
No, it's a big whiskey. It's got a lot of flavor.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of flavor to it.
I'm not getting a ton of spice, but I'm getting a lot of flavor. I'm getting the sherry.
Yes.
I just trying to break it down.
All right. Let me go and get you another one, and I'll be right back.
Holy crap.
Sold. Right. Do that, Brian.
So, all right. I don't know how many times someone in a dress has walked away from us tonight so far. But this is my favorite because I know they're coming back.
He's coming back.
And they're coming back with whiskey. So we're having a good time.
Yes,
here.
I'm having a very good time.
Podcast Detroit.
Yes.
Man Cave Happy Hour.
Man Cave Happy Hour is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. There's like a few more whiskeys we're going to talk to. We're going to try to pull some more people in to tell their drinking stories and their whiskey stories.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a few other folks that we want to talk to as well. Want to talk to your friend next door here, Greg.
Yep.
Yes, and then I also want to talk to Colin. We got to make sure we do that.
For sure.
But in all honesty, Jamie, there are so many people here right now.
Nearly 2,000 people.
Yeah, if you try to walk
through one. It was sold
out. Yeah, they sold out.
They sold out.
They opened up at 6:30 for the VIPs, and then they opened up for general admission at 7:30. So for the first hour, there were still a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
There. And to try to walk from one end building to the other is almost near impossible.
This is a great event. They do a lot of events. They do some wine events.
Yes.
They do some beer events.
Yep.
We're gonna try to be as many as possible.
Yes, yes. We'll do the best we can for you. But
yes.
There's so much here that we want to talk to. So many people here we want to talk to. We might have to be here back next year to do this, just so we can.
For sure.
Yes. So.
But this Tandu is a surprisingly enjoyable and bold whiskey. He's bringing us a palate cleanser.
Brian is back.
Brian has returned, and he's here to join us and talk about the Tandu.
Yes.
And the other spirits that he's representing.
Yes. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
How are you?
You actually came back. Thanks, man.
I told you I was right
I know
back.
You did.
So, okay, this is Mocker Bay. This is the newest distillery on Isla called Kilhoman.
Kilhoman.
Okay. Oh, now, this is...
The nose on this.
Yeah.
This is 85% Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels,
okay.
15% Oloroso sherry barrels. Take a sip straight. Mind you, this is at 92 proof.
That's a bold whiskey. Thank you, sir. He just put some drops of water into the whiskey here for us.
What I did, just so you know,
what does that do for it?
Okay, first of all, let me tell you what to do at home so you can do this and replicate it.
Yes.
You take any water bottle that you want, and I don't mean the squirting kind. I mean a regular spring water bottle, whatever, right?
You have a bottle of Aquafina here, yes.
And you get a corkscrew, and you pop a hole in the top of it.
Ah.
What that does is that allows you to create a water dripper where you're not going to spill the water, and you're in control of how much water you add to the whiskey as you add water to the whiskey. You don't overwater, and you'll understand that, meaning that it opens it up too quick. And what this does is it literally spreads the fats and oils, the phenols and esters that are inside the distillate with the water. It spreads them. And as it spreads them, it does the same thing like heat to a wine. It opens it up, and it brings out the flavor profile. So when you tasted it straight, it tasted one way.
Yeah.
When you tasted it now, it tastes completely different, opened up, bigger. You can get into the whiskey and taste deeper into the flavors.
All right, because this is what I want to talk. Let's talk about the first sip, right? I'm tasting it. I'm tasting it, and it's very airy. I haven't tried the second sip yet. I haven't tried it with the water.
I did.
It's very airy, right? It's got a really big nose to it. But when I sipped it, I was expecting really harsh. I was expecting a really strong something. But it wasn't. It was very airy the first time out, straight up.
Yep.
Am I right with that? Is that what it's supposed to be?
It's whatever you enjoy. But what you should have been tasting in this especially is...
There's
vanilla
flour.
Notes.
Yes. Okay, flour. Is there flour?
Heathers, floral.
Okay,
very heathery, floral. Flour notes and vanilla.
Okay.
You definitely get a spice on that second sip with the water. You definitely get a spice. You get the spice. It's like an after spice almost. You get that?
And then, yep, there it is.
Yeah.
With just like three drips of water, drips of water.
That
it's getting a little bolder. It's getting a little bolder. As it goes, and we just added another four drips of water.
Yeah, drips. We're not talking to... Yeah, we're not... Yeah, drips.
No, literally,
drips.
Yeah. Drip, drip. Pop the corkscrew in it.
What this does is it literally opens up the whiskey.
Yes, it does.
Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people go, I never want to have water added to my whiskey, blah, 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 blah.
However,
I'm going to tell you, at 86 proof or higher, you need to add water to it. Because every whiskey that's 80 proof has been added water to it to bring it down to 80 proof.
Right.
So the benefit here is the whiskeys that we're offering you, we're enabling you to open it to what you like in the whiskey.
Right. Wow. So, Brian, quick question. Are you from, you're not from Michigan, are you?
No, I'm from, I live now in Phoenix, Arizona. I grew up in Chicago area.
Okay.
I've been to 70 distilleries in Scotland. I've been to all the distilleries down in Kentucky. I've also worked with Bill Lark down at Lark Distillery for 3 days in Tasmania.
Nice.
So, you know, scotch is my life. Whiskey is my life.
Right.
How did you become involved with
The way I got started is I had a liquor store in Chicago area, small little hand sell store, okay, and fell in love with the whiskeys and whatnot, and and got on board with a company that wanted me to sell for them. So then I became a salesman for their distributorship, and then from that distributorship, I joined up with another company and became their national brand ambassador. Traveling all over the United States.
Oh.
And it just, you know, now I'm based out of Phoenix and I travel everywhere and do the seminars, tastings, and work with salespeople to expose them to how to sell whiskey. Right.
Somebody has to do it. And Brian, you are that somebody.
Thank you. I love doing it.
Of course.
I love doing it. All right. Let me take us another break and go get you the second of the two Kilhomies.
Oh, my
Thank
goodness.
You,
all right. He's splitting again.
Yep. There
and
you go, we had to finish that last drink. I'm getting some serious spice there.
Oh my god.
You got that spice too, right?
He's trying to hurt us.
Yeah.
I'm
that's just his job.
I'm in.
Jamie.
I'm in.
Are you a Kilhoman and a Tandoon guy?
Or
are you gonna be the drips of water?
I would put that in my liquor cabinet. I would too.
I would
put that in my liquor cabinet.
You're not tasting what we're talking about, but you had the drops of water really, really opened up that whiskey to something that I've never experienced before.
Yeah, that's fun to do. I mean, that's what the whole point of the Man Cave Happy Hour is. Just learning, right? I wanted to ask him if that's something you should drink on the rocks, because when you throw the rocks in,
right,
they start to melt and it just really waters it down. And I enjoy the hell out of that. I get just one big ice cube and a nice pour in the evening, you know, the fire raging, watching a little TV, checking out the news, getting all pissed off, and then relaxing a little bit with just whatever's there. But the ice just kind of melting. I get to enjoy it for I get one pour, and I'll run that for the night. I won't,
When Brian,
if it's final exam time, I might go for two, but, just on a regular night, it might be one,
When Brian comes back, let him know that you do have that capability to make you actually had square ice cubes
at the Super Bowl.
Right?
Yep.
So is that something that he would recommend doing for either one
for,
of his
For these,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so ask him that question.
All right. Brian.
Brian is back.
Brian is back with us. He's all tangled up. All right, Brian, you're back. Before we get into what you just brought us in the glasses, so the last time we were opening it up with some water, we tasted it. We tasted it plain, straight.
Straight, neat.
Yes. See? We don't know what that was. That's why we're learning. So we tasted it neat. You opened it up with a couple drops of water, opened it up again with a little bit more.
Yep.
So now when I'm enjoying, because I like, after work and just have a nice glass, I'll put a big ice cube in. I got this nice, funky ice cube tray that makes these big, square ice cubes. Right?
It was one of the funniest things. We actually had a Super Bowl party. Jamie did.
Yeah.
And he brought out, he actually had an ice cube maker.
Yep.
Tray.
I got yelled at.
Why?
My wife. So we were doing our last minute shopping and grabbing the last couple of things we needed. And I'm making a list because if I don't remember. So I put on the list ice cube trays, right? Because I wanted a big ice cube tray to make some big ice cubes.
Yep.
And so she's like, you go to the store? I'm like, yeah, I got the list up there. So, of course, she's going to review the list to tell me that I'm wrong. She's like,
we have ice trays.
You're not buying ice cube trays. Because she's imagining the little blue ones,
or
the metal. Let's go old school. The aluminum, the ratchet in it, right? You're old enough to know.
Oh, yeah. But, 58, I remember. Thanks for that, Jamie.
And then your fingers are a little wet and it sticks to it. Shoot. All right. So I got yelled at. But I was like, no, I want it for my damn whiskeys. I want to make some Manhattans. I want that. So we opened it up with with a couple drops of water.
Yep.
Is it appropriate? I guess you drink whatever you like, how you like, right?
My rule of thumb is, and I quote, do what you think is right for you.
Yes. All right.
But, and here's the big but, remember that what's happening here is as the ice is melting, it's dispersing the fats and oils more and more.
Right,
that's
right.
Why I wanted to ask that might point. Go right past your happy point without you even having a chance to taste it.
Okay.
Because you were sitting watching somebody score a touchdown.
Yes. Yes.
See, it's your fault, Jamie.
So, I mean, but sometimes I'll just take a glass on the patio.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing. Just me and the grass and the deer wandering through the yard and just enjoy one.
Yep.
But then there's the nights, you know.
Yeah.
There are those
after
nights.
Work and like son of a gun, oh give me a.
That's
and
when you. That's when you drink the $30 a bottle of whiskey because you know it's going to be a volume night.
That's it. Exactly.
All right. Have I been there? I can't remember. Yeah.
So, but opening it up with the big ice cube.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's fine. It all works. There's ice balls. There's ice cubes.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those things. There's even stones. That's really soapstones, and you freeze those and put those in and add the water.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you a cheaper trick.
I haven't had much luck with those.
I'll tell you a cheaper trick that's easier to do.
Ooh.
Rocks from your backyard, alley rocks.
Ready?
Go for it.
Ready?
Go for it.
Put the bottle in your refrigerator or your freezer for 3 or 4 hours. Bring it out. It's already cold now, and now you add the water that you like to it.
Just the amount.
Using that, and then you don't have to play games.
Right.
Well, there you go. So, Brian, you did walk away, and then did bring us another.
Right. We're back with
another. I brought
another
you
drip.
The other of Kilhoman. This is called Kilhoman Sanaing.
Sanaing?
S-A-N-A-I-G.
All right.
It's a purple package.
Okay.
Is the nose similar?
It's the same distillate aged in 70% Buffalo. I'm sorry, 70% Oloroso sherry barrels and 30% Buffalo Trace.
Jamie, I know you're a sherry guy, so we'll see what you think of this.
Sherry.
All right.
Sorry, this is going all.
Okay. Wow, that is another bold. That's another bold whiskey.
It's a big whiskey. It's got a lot going on, but if you notice. Okay?
Yes.
I'm going to add a couple of drops of water.
Please do. Got it.
And when you do the change here, what you're going to notice...
Should I swish it around or just...
It's already done.
All right.
What you're going to notice, though, is the sherry steps on the peat because it's going to taste less peaty, less smoky than the prior whiskey.
Got it.
And the reason for that is that the peat gets pushed down by the sherry.
It does. I can really feel
that. That first dram was...
It was very smoky.
Yeah.
It was very smoky in that first one. That second one was a lot more sherry feel.
It just explodes with the fruit.
Wow. My goodness. I never thought water would actually do that to a whiskey. I'll drink it on the rocks, but I never really understood the reason why adding that water is an important piece to the whiskey itself.
Yep. Now, here's another... I'll add another couple of drops... And literally what I suggest to you, the consumer, to do is play with it to make it your whiskey.
Right. Okay.
And then figure out how much water you like on it. Because however much water you like on it is what's right for you.
Right.
Okay.
So really, in essence, you've only dropped in about 8 drops, 10 drops of water into this.
And we're talking drops. We're talking droplets of water. You don't put it under the faucet. No.
No.
Droplets of water. You put the hole, you drill a hole.
Put the hole in the top of a water bottle with a corkscrew, and that's how you can control it.
That's amazing.
Very earthy. This one is very earthy.
It's got a lot going on.
As much as a novice, I wish I had the vernacular to really.
Yeah, I'm trying
does
to
your
sign.
Tongue work? Does your tongue work?
My tongue does work.
Then you know what you like right there.
All right, fair enough.
There is. I mean, nobody. the key thing that I want to take away from this. For you is you don't have to be an expert to appreciate whiskey, and you don't have to put it in all complicated words and etc. It's smoky, it's soft, it's big, it's large, it's complex, however you want to describe it. It's not that foo-foo world of wine that you know it tastes a little bit of Magna Mutt. And this, what does Magna Mutt taste like?
I tried to have a conversation with one of those guys a few years back. It didn't work out too well.
Oh man,
this is a really good. Thank you very much.
All right, so now
go ahead.
What are we into today, and what else are you representing?
Well, we also, but I don't have it here. I'm
That's
sorry,
fine.
This
yeah.
function. Okay.
All right.
For example, the Tamdu that you see over there that you tasted is at 86 proof. They also do one which is called Batch Strength.
Batch Strength with a B.
B-A-T-C-H. Okay. Now, Batch Chew, which is what they still
Is there
have,
one that's like Biatch Strength?
No. This is Batch. Okay. And you'll understand why. Could try them. Could try.
Control yourself, Mr. Flanagan.
All right, sorry.
What Batch Strength is we literally told the distillery master, take whatever whiskeys you want from the same distillery, mix and match them however you feel you want to do, and whatever you come up with that you feel is the ultimate best, we'll come out with it. So they literally let him loose. He came out with 16 different flavor profiles, and as a result picked this Batch Strength. And this Batch Strength literally is 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-old all married together at 117 proof.
That's hair of the dog sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I hate to say that, but...
No, hair of the dog would be just a little bit of the beer that they use to make the whiskey with.
Yeah.
There it is.
But
that's why you're the ambassador,
well,
and I'm not.
Yeah, that's okay. But literally, the Batch Strength scored number 8 of the top 20 whiskeys of the year by Malt Advocate magazine this year.
Wow, that's phenomenal. That's
so
great.
Yeah, and we also earned on the mocker that you had.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Singh, who owns the Whiskey Exchange, which is a big company, et cetera, website, blah, 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 over in the UK, gave Mocker Bay, which is that, as I told you before, it's not even a 10-year-old, Distillery of the Year for a whiskey that's 92 proof from Islay, and it's the newest one. So all of these whiskeys that I'm bringing you are award winners. At least San Francisco Spirit Competition, double gold medal.
Wow. That's congratulations.
It's a phenomenon that we're lucky enough to be able to support and present to people.
And you presented it very well this evening, Brian.
Thank you.
No, thank you very, very much. Go ahead, Jamie.
No, so the Tamdu and the Kilchoman is what we've had tonight.
Yep.
You guys also have Isle of Skye, the Askig. Is that...
Port of Skig. Now, that's an interesting story.
Port of Skig. All right.
Port of Skig is literally an independent bottler, of a whiskey from Isla that was selected by Mr. Singh, who, again, owns the Whiskey Exchange.
All right.
And he wanted to create a whiskey label of whiskey by Isla drinkers for Isla drinkers. Ooh. So he was able to literally walk into a distillery and tell them, since he's the number 3 collector in the world of Scotch whiskey,
right, yeah.
I want these barrels and I want them and I want a contract long term. And they said, okay, here you go.
Yes, sir.
And we don't get to find out who it is, but, you know, it's a really, really excellent whiskey. Done at 110 proof, only in the United States. Everywhere else is 100 proof.
Uh-huh.
And it literally is a bourbon barrel, unsherried, uncolored, un-anything except the real stuff right out of the barrel, brought down to 110 proof.
Now, the Tamdu, can that be... That's found here in Michigan as well.
All of these whiskeys.
We can find these anywhere we want to.
Yeah.
Brian, I walk into a liquor store.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
And
really? You have a problem.
All right, so you walk into a liquor store.
Yep. If they don't have the product, all you have to do is tell them to get it through Benchmark.
Okay.
And that's the distributor, whatever you want to call
it. Okay, fair enough.
That is the people that sell it from the state to them.
So generally readily available.
Everywhere in Michigan.
Because you go in, seriously, you walk in, and there's a wall.
Bro.
You know,
I know.
There's a wall.
It's a wall of alcohol.
You know, and there's a ladder, and you start climbing on it, and they're like, sir, you can't be on the ladder. And I go, but I love the ladder.
I know.
And then they yell at me. There's a lot of choices.
Oh, yeah. The key things that you got to remember, once you get tasting whiskeys, you got to figure out, do you like sherried or not sherried whiskey? Do you like smoky or not smoky whiskey?
Right. Right.
Those are your main four questions you got to ask yourself.
But, Dad, it's smoky. So, no, all right. But here's another question about barrels, because we've been talking about barrels.
Yep.
How often do they use the barrel? So they get this barrel, and it's like, oh, okay, this is a Buffalo Trace barrel. It's a sherry barrel. Is it a one and done?
Or is it? It's been bourbon, a lot of discussion about barrels this evening.
It's real easy. With bourbon, it's only allowed to be used to make bourbon once. After that, and then the barrel has a 50-year life, but it could only be used for bourbon once. Okay?
Right.
So let's say a bourbon takes 10 years to make.
Sure.
That barrel has 40 years to play with.
Okay.
Right.
So now let's make 3 12-year-olds. Okay?
I got
now
it.
I've
okay,
taken
I'm paying attention
36
now.
Plus 10, so I'm now at 46 years used on that 50-year lifetime of the barrel. All I've right. got 4 more years. Let's fill it again with new make from some distillery, whoever you want.
Sure.
And then we're going to sell it off to a blender because they don't care how good it tastes. They just want to spread it with the other whiskeys that they're using.
Ah, fair enough. Fair play. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I'm just a bill. And that's just the whole path it travels. I'm only a bill.
Yep. Yep. Now, the question
up with sherry.
Here's the thing. Sherry
Pilsner,
barrels.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Sherry barrels
yes, sir.
Are very expensive because when was the last time that you drank a glass of sherry with dinner?
Last time Julia Childs was cooking.
Okay. Yeah. So now what usually happens is these guys like us that use these barrels, we're forced to typically buy the barrel filled with the sherry, disgorge the sherry, and sell it to a balsamic vinegar maker.
Right, right.
Wow. At a loss, and then we have to recoup the difference there of the difference.
That's making so much more sense now.
It's like we could start a It's All About the Barrels podcast.
We could.
And just talk about barrels. That's
talking about what makes a whiskey different from another whiskey.
Yeah.
You got to remember with scotch, it's the same 3 ingredients only allowed by law in the kettle for a single malt. Barley, yeast, water. Nothing else.
That's it.
So as a result of that fact, okay, no matter which distillery you're talking about, as long as it's a single malt from Scotland, okay, they're making it the same way. The question is, how tall is the still? How wide is the still? What are the temperatures that they're making the pre-product, the beer, if you will? What are they putting it into? What kind of barrel are they using? Are they finishing or are they aging in barrel?
Right.
Wow.
All of those kind of things. That's what makes a whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to disseminate all of this information that you've provided us this evening, Brian.
Yeah,
you've been
this is exactly what we need.
This is exactly what Man Cave Happy Hour is all about.
I'll tell you what.
Thank you enough.
You've got my phone number.
Yes.
Okay. If you ever want to do this again on the phone.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Call me up. Tell me exactly what day. And if we can do it like on a Sunday is the best day because I'm not going anywhere.
Fair.
And then I can do it over the phone with you and continue on and we'll do more of this stuff.
Yeah,
I won't be able to pour you the whiskey in front of your face.
We'll have to have our own.
Okay?
Okay. Right, find yourself in Detroit.
Guys,
have you back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
so much
the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And Detroit, have a great night and enjoy yourself.
Yes, thank you too. We'll see you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So you can find it on iTunes.
You can
find
it
on iTunes.
In your man cave this evening.
That is ladies in the man cave.
You guys don't know how lucky you are.
So don't be afraid to get right up next to the microphone.
Don't be afraid to talk.
You have no clue how exciting it's going to be that you have ladies in your man cave.
You have won the man cave lottery.
It's the man cave.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Man cave happy hour. And we're here again with, what's your name?
Nicole Ulrich.
All right, Nicole. Welcome to the man cave happy hour. And
Lisa Zenyuk.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank
you for thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. So the Man Cave Happy Hour, we're here at Whiskey Business, and we're talking to whiskey distributors, and we're talking to people who enjoy whiskey. And you ladies said you had a good story.
Well, first off, Jamie,
Before
we get into that story, we are in a podcast, right?
Yes.
And folks cannot see what's happening.
No.
Our two friends, our young ladies here, they are wearing the coolest hats.
Yes.
And Lisa, you have the coolest shoes on as well.
They're Tams.
They do light up.
They do light up. So
if you're going to wear flats, they have to light up.
I love your hats. Just saying.
Thank you.
And they kind of remind me of something. Reminds me of the old school golf game. right?
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
It does. And when you got, you were telling us that you were actually went somewhere and you paid a visit
we,
to. So
we went to Scotland, St. Andrews last year, and we played the old course.
Oh my,
the old course.
Yes. Yes. And we played.
We brought our husbands.
Okay, good.
They came with.
They did. We couldn't go without them.
All right. Fair enough.
You could try.
So on our ride to the airport, we wore our little hats. They're cute little Scottish hats.
Very nice.
And neither of us liked whiskey or scotch before the trip.
Yeah.
But we said before we left that we were going to develop a taste.
We're going to try.
Huh. I wonder if that happened. Did that happen?
Did you guys develop?
It did.
Okay.
There's actually evidence. There's photographic evidence of the evolution of the taste of the adoration for scotch.
Adoration.
Yes.
The first scotch picture is kind of as if I ate a worm.
Listen, we called it Scotch Face. It's the taste you have. It's the expression you have when you put it in your mouth and you're just like, whoa.
Right.
That first, like if someone were to take a picture, that is Scotch Face.
Yep.
Like your first shot of tequila, it doesn't really taste good, but maybe it does.
Yep,
sure.
Yep.
But then.
Yes, then.
You're like, I like that.
There's kind of a little bit of class associated with drinking scotch on the rocks.
Yes.
Perhaps with a twist, perhaps not.
But listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. When we were sitting at Piper's Pub on the 17th hole of St. Andrews.
Oh, my.
It was
and
glorious.
The sun was going down.
Yes.
And we had our long day of rainy golf, and we sat there and we ordered scotch, and we brought it over, and we had Scotch Face, and we looked at each other, and we thought, girl,
we are living.
You know, I might like scotch.
I might like scotch. And then it evolved from there. And,
it did.
And now
it
there's
did.
Macallan in my liquor cabinet.
Hey.
And then, and then when we beat our husbands at the Duke.
Oh. We did beat them at the Duke's course.
Yes.
Was that
the
twice
scotch
just
tasted
once?
Better.
It did. It was good. Scotch is delicious upon victory, for sure.
And then King's Barnes.
King's Barnes was delightful.
The scotch was really good.
It was. And they had tiny little to-go bottles.
Oh.
And it was delightful.
So we do this Man Cave Happy Hour podcast because we are novices. And I just learned a whole bunch in the last 45 seconds.
I know. I'm getting an education.
The more you drink it, the more you like it.
Right. I love my bourbon. I love my scotch, but I just learned a lot more.
That is.
I really did. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was really good.
It was really good. You have to try it. Give it a second or a third try, and then you'll realize that it's really kind of a chill. It's really good. I love it.
Love it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here at Whiskey Business at the Royal Oak Farmers Market in 2018, and we'll see you next year.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'll be 50 next year.
Oh, boy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you. You want to finish this up?
That's what she said. Oh, you're wrapped around. All right. Thanks, Gary.
You're good, buddy.
Yeah.
Just leave it unplugged. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what she said. This is all staying
in. Hi, catchphrase.
This is all. This
Hashtag
is all
catchphrase.
Staying in. All staying in, man. It is the Man Cave Happy Hour. The lights are on. All the vendors are packing up and going home, and we're still finishing up our whiskeys.
Yes, we are.
Oh, mercy sakes.
So, Jamie, did you have a good time this evening?
I had a good time at the whiskey business, for sure.
Did you learn something this evening?
Barrels.
Barrels was a huge piece.
Roll out the barrels. We're going to have a barrel good time. Roll out the barrel. I thought I heard that someplace before. So, yes, it was all about the barrels today.
It really was. So, yeah, brand new oak barrels.
Yes.
And they have to be U.S. made.
Yes, charred.
And charred, yes. Well, the charring happens once the whiskey's inside it, right?
No. They burn them.
See, I just learned something new again. So
this
entire evening has been nothing but a education.
And there's different ways of burning them, too. And I guess we could do that on another episode of the Man Cave Happy Hour.
And there's still a few folks here that we wanted to talk to.
Oh my God!
Yeah, we didn't get to.
We had like
Colin,
two, three people lined up.
We had Detroit Respect here, Colin. Actually, a good friend of mine. I feel terrible, so I might over go say hi.
We threatened him two or three times. We're going to come talk to him. His tent is still up. We might catch him.
We might catch him. Yeah. So,
but
you know what? Thanks for joining us on this podcast. You know, it's Man Cave Happy Hour. It's all about the education.
That is it.
So, and drinking.
It takes a different form here and there now and again.
It does. You know, sometimes it's a cigar and a cocktail. Sometimes it's just a cocktail.
Sometimes it's a show. Sometimes it's two boys hiding in a corner with mics in their hands.
And sometimes it's just two guys drinking a lot of whiskey.
So I got to... But
talking about pulling out too early.
It's
all on you, my friend.
All right. Man Cave Happy Hour is Twitter and the website, and you can find us on Facebook.
And if I could.
ManCaveHappyHour.com.
If I could.
And the Whiskey
really
Business,
was.
All the Whiskey Business people for having us here.
Whiskey Business and Brian from Tandoom. Tandoom Whiskey.
Yeah. Our boy wearing the kilt.
The boy in the kilt. Yeah. Tandoom and you know, just a great bunch of people here this evening. But Whiskey Business 2018. Was just an amazing event. 2,000 people, sold out event. People are still packing up. People are still hanging out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they are. Really, there's still like some giant Jenga going on.
There really is. Yeah. But we have to go.
We're going to go now.
We got to
pack it in. That's what she said.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great night. Man Cave Happy Hour.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. Thank you.